We are, as you know, November is a month of what? Giving. Either giving thanks or thanksgiving, however you want to say that. And in each of the services, we're having a testimony at the preaching time to get us started. And Amanda McCarty gave a testimony last Sunday and blessed us. Today, Dale Barnes is coming to give us testimony. Welcome, Dale. He's one of us, and let him know you love him.
Good morning, y'all. Brother Wayne asked me last week if I would come give testimony, and I told him I would. If you don't know me very well, back in March, the wheels fell off of my wagon. And anyway, I had pneumonia, terribly bad. I'd gone to Macon to have an AFib ablation. And anyway, long story short, they couldn't do it that Monday morning because my lungs were in such bad shape. And anyway, 2 days later, they put me on a ventilator for 10 days. And let me tell you what, you don't want to ever experience that. So these are some of the things I'm just thankful for. And one of them is the most wonderful daughter God could have blessed a man with. So I just want to thank her publicly. And number two and number three are a wonderful sister and brother-in-law. Without that, my household would have come to a stop. If you don't have anybody to fall back on, when you're in the hospital, the world still goes around. Bills come in, everything else. And my daughter is just a blessing. She made sure all my stuff got paid. She helped me so much with insurance problems. She does billing for Dr. Yabonis. And she knows how to talk the jargon that the insurance people, I have not a clue. She was such a blessing getting me through a lot of that. And it's just a blessing. That's all I can tell you on that. She is wonderful. But my sister, when I finally got out of the hospital, I had to go to rehab up in Tifton for 2 weeks because when I left Macon, I could barely walk. I couldn't do anything hardly for myself. And when you're used to being dependent on yourself, that makes it a little bit tough. But Sandy and Keith took me in for 3 months to let me get back on my feet. And I try not to burden her too much because she's got a loaded plate anyway. But anyway, it's just the number one thing. It's hard to believe when people tell you they're praying for you. And I know there were thousands. I had them from California, where my cousins are, all the way to Tennessee, down to Georgia. I had this church, which is wonderful about praying for you. I had my sister's church. She goes at First Baptist downtown. Northside Baptist. I've got friends over there that were praying for me. And when Tommy Ryan told me one time, he said, "You don't know how many people are praying for you." And I said, "Yeah, I do." And it's heartfelt. I mean, when somebody does that, it'll humble you. If it doesn't, your humbler's broke. I can tell you that. But Paul Stevens and Jane came all the way to Macon to see me. And he was sitting there and he said, "I don't know if you know or not, but Brother Wayne's mad at you." And Lord, my head went, "Oh, Lord, what did I do to make him mad?" And he said, "Well, he's wore out a couple of pants. The knees are gone and his cartilage and his knees are bad." And I thought, well, if it isn't any worse than that, we're in good shape. But I just want to tell this church family how much I appreciate y'all. Miss Ruby Lastinger, she came over and talked to me when I first come back to church. She had a tear on her cheek. And she said, "I want to do something for your sister." And I said, "You don't have to do anything, Miss Ruby." She said, "No, I want to ask her what kind of cake she wants." And I said, "Well, okay." So she wanted a chocolate with a yellow icing or yellow inside. So anyway, she made it, and my brother-in-law said, "That is the best cake I've ever put in my mouth." And I said, "You're exactly right." But I just wanna tell y'all how much I love and appreciate y'all, and thank you so much for your coveted prayers. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you, Dale. We went for days and did not know if we were going to get to keep him for a while. And we credit the Lord. Folks, if our prayers is all that made the difference, then nobody would ever die, because they'd all be healed. But God has a will and purpose that he mysteriously works out through the prayers of his people. It is an expression of the faith of the people of God when they pray. Dale, we love you. Dale, I think, Dale, you never did have COVID, did you? It was always that pneumonia and damaged lungs, and the lung capacity was not very good when you actually got out of the hospital.
I was just getting ready to go back to work and then caught COVID.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I hear you. So, anyway, God has been gracious. We're glad Dale is with us. God has a purpose for his life, as he does each of you. And to God be the glory. And today we give thanks as a people for what God has done in Dale's life. Praise the living God. That leads me to ask you to turn to Psalm 46. I want to preach just from one verse today. Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verse 1, I want to talk to you about let's give thanks or be thankful for God's help. Dale Barnes received God's help, and I would imagine that in this room, in your lifetime, Dale is not the only one that has received God's help. I would imagine we each could say that we've had times when God truly helped us. We are invited in the Scriptures to come boldly before his throne of grace, and there we may obtain help and strength in our times of need. I want to read this first verse that seems very simple and is very simple, and just talk about the meaning of each word in the text. So, Psalm 46, 1, are you ready for the Scripture? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, with that verse and all of the simplicity with which we just read that, I want you to think with me, first of all, that God's protection is available. Now, how do we know that? The key word there is refuge. God is our refuge. That means he's a shelter for us. That's how we know his protection is available. And there are times that we need shelter, every one of us. In fact, your pastor thinks that if we didn't have God's shelter, none of us would be here tomorrow. We live day to day by the shelter and the protection of Almighty God. There's an old gospel song that still is very moving when you hear Bill Gaithers and others sing it, "Sheltered in the Arms of God." I imagine Miss Joyce has that in her repertoire and could sing that in a heartbeat. We are sheltered by the God who is our refuge. Can you think for just a moment how God's protection has been upon you? What about the time that that person weaved over into your lane and for reasons you'll never know, as that car jerked back its direction and you saw it at the last minute, you just narrowly escaped each other? I wonder why that happened. Is it praise chance or is it praise God for his protection? I submit to you that we would praise God for his protection if we knew the times that the angelic host, who are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of grace. I think that the angels were actually doing ministry before you became a Christian. And I think since you've been one, God has a ministry of angels that assist him in protecting and caring for you. So today, we give thanks for God's help because God's protection is available. But in the text, we find that God's power is offered. Now, how do we know that? Because in the text, God is, our key word, our strength. Strength means He is our security. He is our might. And when you have security and you have might, what does might do to you when God's power is offered? When you know that, you have boldness. You believe you live under the power of God. You don't have to keep the earth on its axis. God does that. You really don't have to keep your heart beating, and the reason you don't is you wouldn't know how, nor would I. But God keeps our heart beating. We often say the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. You don't have to see to it that happens because you don't have the power. God does that. He is the all-powerful God, and He is both our refuge, our shelter, and He is our strength, so His power is offered to us. Do you ever ponder in your quiet time, dear God, thank you for your power. Thank you for your power in my life, generally speaking. Thank you for the ways your power is at work to watch over me. Thank you for your power that becomes effective in my life and effectual in my heart. And God, I want your power increased in me. And I believe, oh God, that your power is increased in me as I learn how to submit and surrender to you. So do whatever you need to do in my life to humble my heart so that your power is very evident within me and that I can walk and live in light of your power. Today we give thanks to God because His power is offered. But in the text, that's not all. We give thanks to God because God's attention is immediate. You say, Pastor, how do we know God's attention is immediate? Well, the word used in the King James Bible, which has a Hebrew derivative, speaks to us that God is our refuge and strength. Here's the key word, a very. Now, what does that word very mean? It means holy. It means quick. So God's attention is immediate because God's not off visiting somewhere else. He is the omnipresent God. He is a very present help. He is one that is wholly there. You don't just get part of Him. You've got Him all. You don't just get Him later on. He's there right now. And so God's attention is immediate. That brings to my mind a question to ask my heart, and you ask it to yours. If I walk with God, His attention is immediate for me. But the sobering question is, Wayne, is your attention always immediate for God? How long has it? Have we considered, or the times have we considered, that God was seeking to get our attention? You've heard people giving testimonies that, you know, I look back on it and God was trying to get my attention. Well, friend, I got some good news. That's not good news that God is trying to get our attention. We need to be more sensitive to Him. But the good news is you don't have to try to get God's. His eyes are ever on you. And for the one that walks in His will and purpose, His attention is immediate. Have you found people that do not walk with God and they'll come to a crisis and it is almost like, and I'll save you the decibel level if I wanted to shout all of a sudden, and they cry out for God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Folks, if you walk with Him, you can whisper and He hears you because His attention is immediate. He's not hard of hearing. Sometimes we're hard of understanding. Well, not only do we thank God that His attention is immediate, but notice in the text of Scripture that we give thanks to God because His presence is near, because He's, key word now, He is a very present help. Now, what does that mean? It means that he appears out of what seems to be nowhere. You want me to tell you why it appears that he seems out of nowhere? Because he really is appearing from everywhere. You can't go anywhere and get away from the presence of God. If you ascend to the heavens, he's there. If you descend into hell, he's there. If you go to a godless place, his presence is there, not necessarily working in the hearts of people, but available to do his own purpose, even in the life of his child, and sometimes even in terrible places. God will, in his presence, in a terrible place, begin to draw someone unto saving faith. Isn't that amazing? Can I remind you of something? I thought of his testimony two or three times. Bill Sturm has been thrown on this given Saturday evening into a drunk tank, as he had been thrown on many occasions as a lost person. And he said on that particular night, they put him in a cell, a drunk tank, with several Indians, which wouldn't have been hard to do in Muskogee, Oklahoma. And he said one of them, sitting across the drunk tank from him, was an old Indian chief. And he looked horrible. He was sick. There was nothing good to be said about him. And really, those in the drunk tank were in as foul a shape as Brother Bill was in. And in that moment, Bill Sturm said, into his head came this thought. Not into his ears, but the thought into his head. Bill Sturm, if you don't get your life where you know it needs to be, you're going to end up like that old Indian chief. Now, folks, who put that in Bill Sturm's heart? I'll tell you who did. There's a God who can walk down into a jail cell and get the attention of anybody because, you see, he is a very present help. You can try to get away from him, but you can't get away from him. In trying to get away from him, if he is seeking you and if he is sovereignly after you, you'll just run into him while you're trying to run away from him. He just appears to come from nowhere. Oh, no. He hadn't come out of nowhere. He's always somewhere, and it is the everywhereness of what we call in Bible teaching his omnipresence. So we give thanks to God that his presence is near. Well, today in the text, we thank God for his help in that God's assistance intervenes. Now, look at the text. Here's the key word. He's a very present H-E-L-P, help. His assistance is near. The word help means that's his aid. That's his assistance. That's his ability. That's him doing what you can't do. That is sometimes him doing what you're unwilling to do. And he comes in grace to make our hearts willing. Now, you know, I've heard people say that in salvation, that God is so sovereign that he brings you kicking and screaming to salvation. But folks, that may make for some emotional preaching. But let me tell you something. God doesn't bring anybody kicking and screaming. Because what grace does is makes the heart willing. And he melts the spirit. And he is a very present aid and assistance to people who are needing it. I like the idea that we can ask God for help. Now, that's reserved for the people who are the people of God. He is your Father. Now, I know sometimes when we try to use the earthly understanding of Father on a heavenly scale, we lose some people because some people just didn't have good earthly daddies. I understand that. But at least in the case of some of us, we can't imagine having had a great need and ask our Father for help and our Father say, no, you don't need any help from me. I don't care nothing about you anyway. You see, folks, a loving earthly father wouldn't really say that. Now, an earthly loving father might say, had you done what I told you to do, you wouldn't be in this mess. I could see an earthly father saying something like that. But this, our heavenly Father, when you surrender in humility to him and you ask him for help, you will learn along the way that he will give it, but he will give it like he wants it to be. I've shared the testimony a number of times that when I was young, before I married, I had gone in business for myself. I already had, prior to going in business, a new Ford Torino. I needed a truck to work from, and I didn't buy a brand new one, but I bought one. I think it had 14,000 miles on it. It was same as new, and I didn't have to have that new of a vehicle. So starting a business, owning a car, and making payments on it, and then buying a truck, boy, I want to tell you something. I got my old nose up beside of the a grindstone, and I was taking the meat off every month trying to pay my bills. And I went to God with this statement: Dear God, I need your help, and it's nobody's fault but mine. And I want to apologize that I made some very dumb decisions. And I don't know whether you'll want to help me or not, but any way you see fit, I would appreciate. And God was as good to me in his response as I was to him in my statement. And he helped me by the skin of my teeth month to month. And I think what God, I don't know this, I think what God was saying, son, I'm going to help you. But I'm going to help you in a way that you won't never forget this and do that stupid thing again. And by God's grace, I never have. But that was God's help. And his assistance will intervene. I'm talking to a room full of people right now that needs the, in ways I don't know about, you need the assistance of God. You need for him to do something to intervene in your life. God wants to intervene in your life. Now listen very careful. God doesn't say, Wayne, I want to intervene in your life just to make you comfortable. I want to intervene in your life to make you more like my son. Now, people can't quite identify with this because it sounds harsh, and I don't want this to sound harsh. But believe it or not, God's got a greater purpose right now than Brother Wayne's immediate comfort. God wants me to grow to be like his son. And if a little bit of discomfort along the way can get my spiritual attention to be sure that I give to God what he has already taught me I need to be giving him, then God doesn't mind me living in some discomfort so that I won't turn back to my own way. What is it that the scripture says? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not part of it. Not just part of it. Lean not to thine own understanding, meaning don't ever lean to your own understanding. Your understanding is always less than his. In all your ways, Wayne, acknowledge him. Not in 99% of them, but in all of them. You say, well, I don't know if I can do it in all of them or not. No, true, but you can in this one. That thing you're about to do that you know your parents know because they told you, you've seen it in the scripture and you've heard it. That's never the thing to do. You can do right in that. And when you don't, you're leaning to your own understanding. And if you'll in all your ways acknowledge him, he will direct your path. We're talking about the intervention of God. I can't live, now we'll never make this statement, but I can't live as though, hey, God, I like you. I appreciate what you've done. I got this handled, and if I get in trouble, I'll call on you. Folks, there's nothing about that indicative of what the New Testament teaches about the disciple who is honoring him as Lord. The disciple that honors him as Lord says, Dear God, I need you for everything. I need you when I go to bed at night. I need you when I get up in the middle of the night. I need you when I rise in the morning. I need you when I take a shower. I need you when I shampoo and when I shave and when I brush my teeth and when I get my clothes on. Now, I don't want this to be funny. It's not funny. But do you want to know how many older people have fallen and hurt themselves in the morning time trying to put their clothes on? I don't mean for this to be crude, and I don't have an ounce of humor about it, but do you know how many people, when they get my age and beyond, can't take their underclothes and put them on standing up? you can break your foul neck. Let me tell you something. You may not think so, and I'm talking to young folks as well as old folks, my age and above. You need God for everything. If it wasn't for the balance that God gives you in the mechanism that I'm not smart enough to describe of equilibrium to you as a doctor would, if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be able to get back to your car without assistance on each side. You need Him for everything. And most of the time, we thank Him for the function of the kidneys when they cease to function, for the function of the pancreas when it ceases to function, for the function of the heart when it ceases to function. I want to say it one more time for emphasis' sake. You need God's intervention for everything. And it is the Word of God that holds the world in order, and it is God's Word and presence that holds you and I in order. My wife and I were talking last night about two or three different people and issues, and we're talking about people being alone. Folks, can I tell you something? And you got to get almost, Dale, almost in a crisis. Now, Dale knew this long before his crisis. But many people have to get in a crisis to figure out, you know, I don't have nobody. Let me tell you something. Anybody without Jesus has nobody. Now, let me tell you why. If I gave time, and I wouldn't because it would be too personal, if I gave time for testimony of the people in this room that told about sons that'll have nothing to do with them, daughters that'll have nothing to do with them, children turning against them, husband walking away, wife walking away, if all you have around you are mortal people, you don't have anybody you can count on, you can count on Jesus. And then when Jesus comes into your life, oddly enough, there will be a different quality of people. And by quality, I'm talking about spiritually speaking. Because when you're lost, about the only people who want to be around you are lost people. When you come to know God, people that know God don't mind being around you because y'all share the same Father. When you seek to walk with God, other people that walk with God are happy to be with you. And the community may honor you because you're Dr. Fuzz Funny from such and such a place, but you can only be truly honored for the essence of life and what it means to survive and hold your life together when Jesus Christ is in it. And the weakest person who walks with God is a better person to share life with than somebody that does not know God. So God's assisted. Give Him praise in the house of God. That's all right. Do that. God's assistance intervenes. Now, last but not least, we're thankful for God's help because, and buddy, do I like this, God's ability is unlimited. Look at the text. Here's the key word. God is a very present help in, what's that, T-R-O-U-B-L-E? Trouble. Folks, His ability is good enough for any and all trouble. Trouble means adversity. He is a very, He is indeed a present help. He is an aid and assistance in all kinds of adversity and affliction and distress. And interestingly, in the Hebrew language, that word, the trouble, had to do with tight places. Now, I don't know how you grew up with the expressions you grew up with. I was talking to John and Mary Davis back a week or two ago, and we were talking about some of the expressions that the people in the community where I was raised, what they used. I've often said we had a different dialect. She said, Brother Wayne, we were from Alabama, and we had some of the same expressions. But one of those expressions, when I grew up, people would say, boy, he's in a tight. Folks, you know what it means to be in a tight. You ever been there? Well, folks, when you're in a tight, most of the time, you can't get out of the tight. You got yourself worked into something. I didn't mean to get here, and I've got to do a whole lot more to deal with this than I plan to do. It was easy walking in. It's hard to walk out because you're in a tight. You know who can help you in a time of tight? That's what the word really means. Trouble is Almighty God. He can get you out of your tights. I was in a tight with those finances, and God said, Wayne, I kind of like the, and now God didn't say this to me, but here's kind of how that worked out. Wayne, I want to help you out, you're tight. I just don't want to just get you out of it all of a sudden because you won't learn nothing. Can I tell you, we find that repeated in the New Testament. You all folks remember a story about a father who had a couple of sons, and one of them said, hey, Dad, I want my inheritance right now. And Dad gave it to him, and he went off to a far country. And he, being a Jewish boy, ended up in the worst place a Jewish boy could end up, and that's in a hog pen. And the Bible says that in that hog pen, he came to himself and said, you know, the servants at my father's house has got it better than I've got it. He came to himself. It looks like to me, based on what I see, you know, in church life today, everywhere I'm talking about now, not Morningside, everywhere. People try their best to go get the boys out of the hog pen. Folks, it might amaze you what this God who is everywhere could teach a boy in a hog pen that if you go deliver him, he never will learn. Let God begin to show him things in the tight place that he couldn't show him back when he was walking in fellowship with the Father. So today we do praise God that he can be the one that's the very present help in all of your affliction, your adversity. When you're sick like Dale was sick, when a family member walks away from you, when a child breaks your heart, when that situation troubles you, when there's a financial reversal. Now, nobody wants to go through any of that. Don't get me wrong. We're not supposed to think, well, that's good. No, none of that's really good. But I'll tell you one thing. Listen carefully. If your spouse walks away from you, you wasn't going to carry them to heaven. If they get there, Jesus was going to be the one to do that. If your kids break your heart, that's sad. But you wasn't going to take them to heaven. If they get there, Jesus was going to do that. If you lose your business, that's sad. And the rest of us will try to minister to you. But you wasn't going to take it to heaven. Folks, you're not going to lose what you're really going to take to heaven if you'll still give Jesus his rightful place. Oh, once again, old Brother Bill Sturm used to say, you know, God will bless all who will let him. And folks, in order for God to bless us, we must remember that God's ability is unlimited, and in any trouble you face, God can help you. On a number of occasions in these 36 years, I've shared this story. I'm going to give you the headlines right now. Listen carefully. On a given Christmas Eve, a man named J. Harold Smith that preached in this church and his wife were visiting some people for a church party. They get a call that their house is on fire and that the fire department has been called. And when they roll up, the trucks are shooting water everywhere. And the next morning, they try to go and see what's happened. And, of course, he's given her a new grand piano. Folks, you know what happens to a grand piano that gets hit with a fire hose the night before and it's very cold that night in single digits? That piano's turned to splinters. And they stand on that street side looking at that mess. And she takes Harold by the hand and says, Harold, I want to remind me and you both of something. And he said, what's that? She said, we hadn't lost a thing we was going to take to heaven with us. Now, folks, that's the perspective to remember as we walk through life. But God is a very present help in time of trouble. We thank God for his help. Amen. Would you pray with me? Bow your head. No, try not to move around, please. Just hold your seat just 1 minute. I want you to answer a question in your heart. How do you need God's help today? What do you need God to do in your heart? I'll tell you this. You and I may be a little confused about what it is we really need God to do, but God's not. Would it be fair if you said to the Lord, Lord, I think my need is, and go ahead and tell him, but if I've got that wrong, would you, Lord, choose it, and I'll take your choice over mine? And today, I want to ask you, oh God, in this month of giving thanks, Lord, I do thank you for the many times, many ways you've helped me. But I come to you today for help. Maybe asking you for help in something I'm not even aware of, but I want you to help me. Because, Lord, I don't want to go on the rest of my life missing something that you may have for me. I want to be the maximum person I can be when you finally call me home. And so, Father, today, help me in this matter. Either the one I've shared with you, or if I've missed it, I'll be willing, Lord, help me in the matter that you know I need the most. And Lord, I pray that in my own heart right now as pastor of this church. I pray, Lord, in this moment of commitment, you'll do something in our lives that will reclaim us, renew us, redeem us, refocus us, and re-equip us for what you would have us do for the rest of our days. Lord, you can, Lord, realign the pathway of these young people today. You can take them places they never dreamed they could go. And I pray, Lord, for each of us today, we will be willing for you to have your way in our lives right now. Lead us, Lord, into green pastures. Lead us by still waters. And do what it takes to restore and renew our souls. And may our hearts never have been so thankful to you as they are right now and as they're going to be in these coming days. We love you and thank you that you first took an initiative to reach out to us. Bless these moments of commitment. Save anybody that's lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now would you stand with your pastor, please? Brother David Lee.